station.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
On our way to the third shift, the late shift, human resources could care less about us. Absolutely, they don't care. Plus, you think your bullying stopped when you left high school or college? Bullying continues your whole life, and I will reveal to you exactly how that is. And oh my gosh, thank God to the end of the loneliest holidays. Good evening, I'm Walter Sterling, and here's Dr. Dave.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. You know, we have eight kids, and for years, people have joked that I keep my wife locked in the bedroom.
This week, that was not a joke, and I really was locked in the bedroom.
Details coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan, Krakow, Poland, strip club. Ooh, arrest. Details later, strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Coming up on today's Florida stories, we have an airboat crash, we have a black market for horse meat, we have a stolen Porsche, and we have a theft ring led by a pastor. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Walmart. Phone theft. 50K. Wow. People of Walmart, later, Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I discuss the terms commonly used in the auto theft industry. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Thank goodness it's over. This is the season of lonely holidays. There is a myth that the season of lonely holidays is Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. That's not true. To celebrate Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's, what do you have to do? Go outside. Go to the mall. Go to church. It's easy to participate in Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's and to feel a part of. It's easy. Just look at the display windows and watch the commercials on cartoons. These are the tough holidays, Memorial Day, the 4th of July, and Labor Day. Why? Because these are the holidays that you and I have to be invited in. We can't just celebrate these holidays. I have to be invited to your tennis court, your golf courses, your beach. There's nothing creepier than a man going to the beach alone. I'm not talking about like a handsome 18-year-old guy. I'm talking about like a sort of normal 38-year-old guy going to the beach alone. That's, you just look at him and it's depressing. I have to be invited to your barbecue, even to the 4th of July fireworks at a country club, a nearby club, or a park. I have to be invited in. I might have to prove that I'm a citizen of that town to go to the fireworks. These are the loneliest holidays. Plus, they are usually 3 and 4 day weekends. 1 out of 5 Midnight Misfits are not married, living alone with their cats or their dogs, or worse, some distant strange relative who needs a place to stay. These are the lonely holidays because we wait for the 4th or 3rd day to feel the city filling up again, to feel the cars coming back, to feel a part of. These are the lonely holidays. I am glad they are over. Bullying. It's very popular to imagine. I will kill that sound, and then I will find a person who did it. Hello. No, I'm annoyed at the fact. Let me share this very important thing with you. You probably have had this experience. I am suffering from the fact that my Mac, my Apple Mac, melted. It actually melted. The fan stopped working, overheated, melted. Well, that's $1,000 minimum. Get a used one, a good certified used Mac, that's still, you're looking at $1,000. Therefore, I've had to borrow a PC. I am not made as a left-handed misfit who has used Macs since 1984. I am not built or designed to use a PC. They are counterintuitive and every single keystrokes results in a notification. And click here. And did you approve? And is it okay? I don't need help using my computer if it's a Mac. and I certainly don't need the endless interruptions of using a PC. I can't wait till I replace it. And then the other thing that happened technologically in my life, my cell phone has been broken for weeks. As Sean, brilliant producer, knows, my cell phone has been broken for weeks. People
talk to me, I sound like this. I sound like, you know, I'm testing the sand, speaking to you from below at the bottom of the well.
That's how I sound on my cell phone. It annoys the heck out of people, and it should, but it got worse. The screen cracked, and now half the screen is blotted out. I have a phone that sounds like this, and it sounds like that if I listen to you. And, well, today's my birthday. And, yes, we'll go over my horoscope with a real astrologer at 2 hours and 15 minutes at 12:15 or 9:15 on the West Coast. We will hear my horoscope, my personal horoscope. But the fact is that my wife has said she's going to replace the phone, that will be the gift. There couldn't be a better gift. Bullying. It's easy to imagine that once I was no longer a kid and had to avoid Chuck Sapp walking to school, Chuck Sapp lived up the hill, and every day that he saw me, he threatened to beat me up. And then when I got to school, Ray Rickey threatened to beat me up. Ray Rickey went on to have like some big CFO job at some big public company, and I saw him on Facebook and I sent him a note saying, hey, remember when you used to threaten to beat me up? No, he had no memory of me. The bullying continued. But as adults, you and I are bullied all the time. It's just called something else. It's called customer service. What is a bully? It is somebody who has imaginary power over me, somebody who I think has power over me, who has the quote social license to attack me either physically or verbally or make my life miserable in some way. That's a bully. Well, that continues to adulthood. Let me share with you my bully birthday card from Chase. Yeah, the bank. And Chase is the good bank. The other banks just suck. They just suck. So Chase is the good bank. But here's the email I get from Chase. You won't believe this email. This is exactly what you don't want to get, especially on your birthday. Are you ready? Now listen to this. This is bullying. No, don't sing that yet. See, that's the problem with the PC. I can't cue anything up right. My life's a nightmare. From Chase, there's an important status change on your credit report. Well, you never want to see that. You never want to see an important status change on your credit report. It looks like you were reported as, and I thought it said decreased, because usually when I get a credit report, it says decrease. It looks like you were reported as decreased. No, that isn't what it says. It looks as though you were reported as deceased to the credit bureau. Head on over to Credit Journey app to see what steps you can take next if this was reported by mistake. Oh, your head's going to explode. Wait, if they reported that and you know who they are, that I was deceased, how am I going to head over to Credit Journey to see what steps can take next if this was reported in by mistake? If it was reported by mistake, yeah, I can do that, but if it's true, I can't do that. It's insane. But they want me to take steps to correct their insane mistake of thinking I was dead, of reporting that I was dead. That's what they want to do. They want me to do all the legwork to make all those phone calls. No, I won't be doing that. And I said to Chase, I won't be doing that. Your job is to fix it. I expect you to fix it. And if anybody wants to talk to me, well, they can call me.
Sugar, sugar, would you forget
It's Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Alice Eve.
Maybe three champagnes in, I was a little emotional and was like, what's going to happen to me? I'm never going to see my mom. We're not going to win the World Cup. I'm never going to be on Love Island.
It was a complex grand theft scheme that may have netted Mackenzie Elizabeth McKay of Cantadale, Florida, a total of maybe $100,000, and at least defraud Walmart of $20,000. Yep, 2019 this began. Walmart reported to Mobile Highway that they had a complex employee-related theft and fraud. McKay created numerous fraudulent cell phone contracts for the price of the cell phone service with the intent to steal the cell phones and to provide them probably to, well, to someone else, they say, perhaps allegedly to probably drug dealers and theft. And other people of poor mental acuity. Young Mackenzie was working at the Walmart, and she found a way to make extra cash. You know, people at Walmart, especially the 22-year-olds, generally are not making a lot of money. So you can work up through the system and become a baller at Walmart, or you can figure out a shortcut. And that's what Mackenzie Elizabeth McKay did. Innovation with your thieving. What we got here, Mackenzie Elizabeth McKay, probably do a little time in the hole. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool for Sterling at Night.
Let's review. I get an email from Chase Bank, a real bank, the good bank, not the joker banks, not the regional bank that you're stuck with. And it says there's an important status change on your credit report. It looks like you were reported as deceased to the credit bureau. Now, who reports these things, by the way? Who reports to the credit bureau that I'm dead? Exactly who would that be? It says, head over to Credit Journey, in caps, meaning it's an app. Head over to Credit Journey to see what steps you can take next if this was reported by mistake. Well, if it wasn't reported by mistake, I'm dead. I'm not going to be taking any steps to anywhere. Otherwise, they want me to waste my time going to an app, filling out some stupid form, answering questions, waiting for my phone to recharge, making sure that I know the password, because I spend, three-quarters of my life at least trying to remember the password or coming up with a new password or getting it verified. Why is it that I need 20-step verification to go on freaking Facebook? Why? That's how I waste my life. Oh, you should get one of those things that remembers your passwords. No, I forget that password. This is just not me. But some idiots, and I will find out who, and we will discuss them on the air by name for years, decided that I was dead and reported it to credit agencies, which will really screw up my credit even more. Oh, my God. It's not enough that I'm in the circus, that I'm in show business, but these bullies have bullied my credit report into thinking that I am dead. And then my bank thinks I'm dead, and Chase closed my ATM card without notice. I'm standing there trying to get gas at the beach, meaning it's very important and overpriced. And the card says not working. It doesn't say declined. It says this card doesn't work. Well, I'm used to having my card declined because I'm in show business. But oh my gosh, I call up the number and it says this card is closed. The card was closed, and then we check with the bank a couple days later after that holiday, and they say, our bank thinks you're dead, and you have to call this number. I said, I'm not calling any number. I didn't decide I was dead. I didn't bother you guys. I didn't want any involvement. You've decided I'm dead. You call me. You send the wreath. You send the flowers. Because, you see, I know what they did. They confused my name with my dad's. But we don't have the same Social Security number. We don't have the same addresses. And my dad died 4 years ago. Therefore, they have dredged up the trauma of my father dying. I not only have to deal with the trauma of dealing with money, which is a nightmare for me, but the trauma of my father dying. So you see, you and I are bullied the rest of our life. Midnight Misfits, welcome. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Here's Lance at 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. Why are we talking on a three-day weekend? Because I'm live. Hello, Lance from Jersey.
Hello, Walter. Happy Renumeration Day to you. And I think that if I could send you something on Facebook, I'll send you Marilyn Monroe singing Happy Birthday, Mr. President.
No, here's
but
what
I
you
wanted
do.
You to know.
You know, wait. Lance, who was great, he sent me Taylor Pork Roll, or as I call it, Taylor's Ham from Jersey. Taylor's Ham from Jersey. But on Facebook right now, Walter Sterling, S-T-E-R, not the way Peter Bolger spelled it, S-T-E-R, Walter Sterling. Go to my Facebook page, follow me, become my friend. And you will see what I want for my birthday. You will see specifically what I want for my birthday and what you can do. Lance, go ahead.
I just think that you hit it with a ball-peen hammer, how customer service, either the AI voices or the people from foreign countries, try to tell you how you yourself, your entire entity is wrong. So the way I look at it now, I don't consider them talking to me. I consider them talking to, like, Comcast. So that way I feel like I'm always on demand. You know what I mean? And I laugh at it anymore, and I change my voice, my cadence, my dialect, and I tell them I'm hard of hearing, I'm on a landline, and the cord doesn't work, and it's cracking, and I just hang up politely.
Lance,
that's all I could tell you.
Yeah, well, that's a lot, Lance, and thank you very much for the call. What I say to them when I see one of those calls coming in is I answer it, I say, you're on the air. And the minute I say you're on the air, they're gone. Thank you, Lance. Thank you for the gift of Taylor's Ham, because that is what it should be called, Taylor's Ham. There's a brilliant young lady, Stella Mabry. Stella Mabry had to deal with bullies in middle school to a degree that you and I should never have to deal with them, and she got the best revenge. Coming up in seconds, you will hear the song that she wrote and performs to deal with the mean girls in school, and it's brilliant. I can't wait for you to hear it, because this is a live radio show. Anything else on the air right now was recorded by some bum who's at Ruby Tuesdays right now. Good evening. I'm Walter Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Will Ferrell.
I'm listening to what you're asking me, and if you're not listening to my answers, let's just call it a day.
Customer service is what adults call bullying. People who have the ability to make our lives miserable, either verbally or physically. But as grown-ups, we call them customer service. I've got the best song about bullying I've heard in years, and I need some help because I have an 11-year-old who's given a hard time. That's coming up in just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. You know, we have 8 kids, and for years, people have joked that I keep my wife locked in the bedroom.
This week, that was not a joke, and I really was locked in the bedroom.
Details coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Vilo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Krakow, Poland, strip club. Ooh, arrest. Details later, strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Coming up on today's Florida stories, we have an airboat crash. We have a black market for horse meat. We have a stolen Porsche. And we have a theft ring led by a pastor. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I discuss the terms commonly used in the auto theft industry. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Chokers, crop tops, where does it end? They're only scared of you, that's why they're your friend. Call me loser, call me lame. At least I don't spend all day calling people names. You just wanna rush turning into a adult, 'cause you think being a kid is just an insult. That's why I think you're a, that's why I think you're a, that's why I think you're a. But you're making it hard. All this drama is tearing us apart. I just wanna go back to the start. But I think that's where y'all gotta go. I try to be nice, I try to be cool, but I'm giving up, you have no love to show. That's why I think you're a, that's why I think you're a, that's why I think you're a.
Stella Mabry. Stella Mabry composed that song, performed that song. If you want to see that video, it's compelling, interesting, educational, and fun. You can see it at Walter Sterling on Facebook. I have posted it. I've posted it already, Stella. Now, Stella Mabry, to compose a song that good and perform it that tight, as musicians say, means you were inspired. There must have been an event in your life of bullying and being tortured by mean girls that would say, I'm gonna deal with this. And you dealt with it in a compelling, beautiful, interesting song. Stella, what was the event?
I was bullied when I was in third and fourth grade, and it really did take a toll on my young mind. But instead of being physical or getting so angry about it, I took all that emotion and put it into a song that became an amazing opportunity for me to showcase that bullying is not okay and it needs to be stopped.
Everybody agrees with that. Stella, I'd like you to give me just a taste of what the bullying was in third and fourth grade. What did the girls say and do to you?
It was a very psychological bullying, fortunately nothing physical, but this is a small town and it's not about who did it or how it happened. It's that it happened and it really did make an impact on me. I mean, I wouldn't be the person that I was today if I did not go through this. and it definitely changed me as a person.
Stella Mabry. Am I saying your last name right, Stella?
It's Mabry.
See, I said it Mabry before the break, and then after I said, well, maybe it isn't. So, Mabry, thank you very much. Stella Mabry, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. I have an 11-year-old daughter. In fact, I have three daughters, 20, 18, and 11. And my 11-year-old daughter last year, for the first time in her life, was bullied by boys in fourth grade. And she was bullied because she has a speech impediment. And the result of that was so traumatic to her, she refused to go to school for 4 days, Stella, for 4 days. Therefore, I need your advice. If a kid comes home and says, I was bullied in school, what advice do you have for their parents? What should their parents do to be supportive and corrective, Stella Mabry?
Me personally, I think what helped me through the most and what my parents both did to help me through what I was going through, I think you just really need to reassure your child. Tell them there is nothing that you are doing that is causing this cruel behavior towards you. You are an amazing, smart, and kind person who does not deserve any of this. And you are an amazing person, and you really have to focus on the good and being a good person. Don't let it get to your head, because you are an amazing person, and you have the power to be something bigger.
I believe that my 11-year-old knew that because of the way we raised her and her relatives raised her. This was what I told her after she was on day number three. I said, Samantha, you can't let idiots make an idiot of you by keeping you out of school and denying you an education to keep you smart and get you smarter. For some reason, that worked. Should mom and dad go in and talk to the teacher? Should mom and dad go in and confront the parents of the bully? How do you feel about that?
For me, going to the parents of the bully is really not a good idea, and for this reason. If you go to the parents of the bully, sometimes they won't really care, but if they do and the child happens to get in trouble, that will reflect back on your child thinking that they were the ones that got them in trouble, and that could really resort to a worse situation.
What would you say to the kid? What advice do you have for kids who are bullied, in not like a day or two later when they've had time to think about it, but to sort of train in their mind the instant that it happens? What advice would you give Stella Mabry?
I would tell them that everything that happens is temporary, and when they get past this, they're going to look back and hopefully see how they were the bigger person. They did what was right. They kept their head high, and they let it go on. They were the bigger person, and they didn't take out their emotions in a violent way.
All right, Stella Mabry, let me sum it up here. Mom and dad should not confront the parents of the bully. Mom and dad should not go in and talk to the teacher. The correct thing to do in the instant that you're bullied as a student is pretty much to do nothing. Is that right, Stella Mabry? Just walk away from the situation?
Walk away and keep your head high, because you are so worthy and you are an amazing person. And I promise that everything that's happening, it's going to pass. It's going to pass, and you are going to be so strong.
Stella Mabry has composed and performed a beautiful song and made a great video. It's called Mean Girls. It's posted on the Walter Sterling Facebook page. Now I have to ask you a fun question. This song, which is terrific, how long did it take you to make this song? How long did it take you to write the song, Stella Mabry? And then how long did it take you to shoot it?
If we are talking the span of me writing this, when I first wrote it, it was a very, very short song, just about 30 seconds long. And if we're talking about the time it took to write it, about 20 minutes. But when my parents actually took me to the studio, It was a great studio day, of course, because I love the people that I work with. It was about a four-hour studio day.
Well, I got good news for you, Stella Mabry. I've had big news for you, in fact. The video, which you can see at the Walter Sterling Facebook page, is called Mean Girls. It's by Stella Mabry. But you just said something magical. You said you wrote that song in 20 minutes. Guess who else wrote songs in 20 minutes? You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney said most of the songs that I wrote for the Beatles took me about, 20 minutes to write on the bus. It would seem, Stella Mabry, that you are gifted, and I thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. That was great advice that you have shared about how to deal with it if you're bullied, parents of kids who are bullied, what we should do, and I appreciate the advice and I appreciate the tips. Thank you for being on Sterling on Sunday. All right, you and I should talk at all times, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. In just seconds, I'm going to share with you, we heard one of the great new songs. Now I'm going to share with you maybe the worst song ever recorded. That's in seconds, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Gunk.
Join me next time when I go back in time again. Not in an exciting way, like in a film. I'm probably just looking at some old pots or something.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
Say you don't know me, I recognize my face. Say you don't care who goes to that kind of place. Knee deep in the hoopla, sinking in your fight. Too many runaways. We'll be right back.
that. No, leave it up. I need to hear. Who is that jock? Who is that disc jock?
Listen to the radio. Don't you remember?
And see if he can explain himself as to why he's in that song. I think that's the least I can do for you. I don't think that's the worst song at all, but some A-hole magazine said it was the worst song ever, and it's not. It's Hook-O-Rama. I'm Walter Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
All right, as we drive across the country on I-80, up and down Florida on I-4, welcome to Sterling on Sunday, a scientifically designed show to be heard live in 18-wheelers. It is sort of almost great to be with you. Welcome. Coming up in just seconds, we're going to solve one of the greatest mysteries of the past 30 years. Who the heck is this?
Looking out over the Golden Gate Bridge on another gorgeous sunny Saturday. I'm seeing that bumper-to-bumper traffic.
In just seconds on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. You know, we have 8 kids, and for years, people have joked that I keep my wife locked in the bedroom.
This week, that was not a joke, and I really was locked in the bedroom.
Details coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan, Krakow, Poland, strip club. Ooh, arrests. Details later, strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Coming up on today's Florida stories, we have an airboat crash, we have a black market for horse meat, we have a stolen Porsche, and we have a theft ring led by a pastor. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I discuss the terms commonly used in the auto theft industry. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Good evening. I'm Walter Sterling, and I'm talking to you tonight from an RCA 77. Those of you in broadcasting covet RCA 77s. Listen very carefully to this voice. Hello? Oh, what did I do? That's because I'm on a PC. God meant me to be on a Mac. These things wouldn't happen on a Mac.
Looking out over that Golden Gate Bridge on another gorgeous sunny Saturday. I'm seeing that bumper-to-bumper traffic.
It turns out, according to the texts I have gotten from other people in radio, that is Les Garland. And I said, well, he's a very big deal, and I might have him in my contact list, but it probably would be really old since he's in show business and probably has to move a lot like I do. Les Garland, however, is on the phone. We reached him. We actually did production. We worked at making a radio show that's like a morning show at midnight. Think about this, a morning show at midnight. Les Garland, is that your voice in We Built This City by the Jefferson Starship? Is that your voice?
I am Les Garland. Thank you for calling me. It's great to be on the phone with you, Walter. Thank you. And yes, that's my voice.
Les, that is now the most famous voice in all of disc jockeydom. What year was We Built This City recorded? What year was that?
I can't forget that ever. 1985. MTV was about 4 years old at that stage.
Now,
I was
Les,
with MTV.
Les was a very big deal with MTV. He was an incredibly successful radio program director. And the people at Time Warner had the good sense to hire radio people to run MTV because they knew that radio people knew how to work without a script and without a prompter and without about 400 planning meetings to get anything on the air. But Les, How did you get to have a relationship that allowed you to be the voice of We Built This City? Tell me the story about how your voice got to be the disc jockey on We Built This City. And it's not John Mac Flanagan, and it's not Dave Sholin, and not other pretenders to the throne. It's you, Les Garland. How did that happen?
Well, thank you. Thank you, Walter. Those are good friends, and I know exactly what you're referring to there, and we can even touch on that now. It is the midnight hour, you say. I could easily fill the next 45 minutes up with the answer to your question. I'll try to give you the edited version. So, I had gone through San Francisco during my years in. I was the lucky guy who got to be the program director of one of the great radio stations of all time, one that I know you're familiar with. As a matter of fact, you had a hand in it at one time, KFRC in San Francisco. And I was there and left there, went to Atlantic Records for a couple of years, and that's where the idea of putting music videos on television 24 hours a day was hatched. So off I go to New York, and we do the MTV thing. I stayed friends with some friends that I had met during my years in San Francisco, starting with the manager of the band, who managed the Jefferson Airplane when they were the Airplane, Bill Thompson. Bill Thompson became one of my very dearest friends, Walter. He passed away a few years ago, and I still think of him often. The great times he and I had together were worthy of a book, believe me, fun times. And he was a fun guy, and he managed them through the years of the Airplane, the Jefferson Starship, and ultimately the Starship. Very successful band, as you know. Now, let's see. Let's go to how that happened. I was in New York. I used to visit with my friend Bill Thompson and his wife Stephanie quite often, and I would come out to Mill Valley. I loved it there. I loved the San Francisco, Sausalito, Mill Valley, the whole Northern California area was very much home for me. In fact, there were times I never thought I would leave there. And I had gone out to visit for a few days, and at his house overlooking Mount Tamalpais over there in Mill Valley, beautiful place, was what he called the tea house. And those were my quarters where I stayed when I was there. So get up one Saturday morning, we're going to go play some golf. He was a trip to play golf with, trust me. And so we're on our way to play golf. Oh, by the way, Garland, the band's in the studio down in Sausalito. And they wanted me to bring you by. They'd like to play some songs. And I go, well, that sounds great. You mean this morning? And he goes, yeah, they worked all night. Why don't we go down? And I go, what a great idea. Let's go. So we go down to the record plant, the world-famous record plant. And gosh, Grace was there. Mickey Thomas was there. Pete? Donnie on drums. The whole band was there. Craig? And the producer, a gentleman by the name of Peter Wolf, not the Peter Wolf from the Jay Giles band that you and I would probably first think of, and the music fans out there listening right now would probably think the same thing, but he's quite a songwriter, producer himself, Austrian. Peter Wolf was the producer of that album. So we were hanging out, we say hi, you know, catch up on conversation, and he's in the mood to play some music. Are you ready for some music? And yes. He hits the first song. I don't remember what it was. And I liked it. It didn't blow me out of my chair. And I think he could probably tell that. And he goes, I got another one. Threads it up, hits the start button, and it's We Built This City on Rock and Roll, which taught me from the first lick when it ended. I said, what do I know? But I think you have a smash right there. What? I go, I think that song's a big hit. Really? And I go, yeah. Would you mind playing it again? Or something like that. He plays it a second time. I go, okay. I go, well, yeah, that's how I feel about that one. And before we even went to what naturally might have been a third song, he says to the manager, Bill Thompson, hey, Bill, I've been meaning to tell you that I've been thinking about seeing if we can find a disc jockey. I hear a disc jockey part in this bridge right here. And I'm thinking that we need to add that to it in the final mix. Thompson looks at me and he says to Peter, well, Garland could probably do that for you. And I'm like, what? What? And I look at Thompson and I go, what do you guys want me to do now? Just, you know, do a DJ routine in the song. Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, I guess I could do that. You mean like a demo or something? Sure. And I go, yeah, okay, I'll do the demo for you. So I'm told by Mickey Thomas, if he were here, he would correct me right now. They were getting ready to record me, and he swears that I went out to the car and got a golf club out of the trunk and came back in with this golf club. Excuse me. I went back into the studio with the golf club, and I leaned on it like Bing Crosby might have done, I guess. And here's the microphone hanging over me. Unfortunately, it was not the RCA 77, Walter. It was a good studio mic. But it wasn't the gem that we love so much. So, I'm in the booth, the studio in there, and I put the earphones on, and he's, can you hear me? And I say, I got you loud and clear. He goes, okay, let me play the song for you again. And I go, well, that won't be necessary. What? He goes, well, don't you need to hear it? And I go, no, I think I've got this. He goes, really? And I go, yeah. And he goes, well, what are you going to say? I go, I don't have any idea. Come on, really? And I go, no, I have no idea. Do me a favor. Just put it in red and let's see what happens. That take that you just played that's been on millions of albums around, sold around the world, etc., that is the first and only take that you hear there. I walked out of the booth. Peter said he really liked it. They played it a few times.
One take.
The first take. First and only take right there.
Right.
And I'm thinking, okay, what a lark. And we took off and we went and played golf and had a good time. I go back to New York. And about 3 months later, I get a phone call from the lawyers, one of the legal department at BMG/RCA Records, which was the label that the Starship was on. And I'm like, what they want with me? So I go to the phone and I go, hello. And I meet this young fella, and I don't know his name. I don't remember. And he tells me why he's calling, that the band has made the decision that they want my voice on the master that's being mastered right now.
So to sum up, wait. I want you to finish the story, but I just want to make it easy for everybody to catch up. You and I are talking to Les Garland. He is the voice on the Starship song, We Built This City. And he's sharing with us the story of how it happened. Now, he did it in one take from his head because he's a radio guy, and radio guys don't know how to read a prompter. We just know how to talk. And there's nothing sadder than seeing a radio disc jockey on a television set with a prompter trying to read that. And there's nothing sadder than a TV host who's only had a prompter thinking they can do a talk show on the radio. But Les is telling us the story of how this happened and how he got onto that song. And now he's talking to the lawyers about the release of the song and what happens next. Go ahead, Les.
And I was asked, why are you calling me? And he goes, well, we have to sign a contract in order to use your voice and your performance. And so I'm here to make a deal with you. And I go, yeah, okay. What do you mean? Just for me to provide the rights for you to use it? That's perfectly fine with me. No. We have to sign a contract. I go, you mean like you want to pay me some money for this? And he's, yes. I go, well, that's a problem. And he goes, what? And I go, these are friends of mine. This was a favor. We were hanging out together one Saturday morning, and they asked me if I'd do it, and I did. And I didn't do this to make any money, and I would feel weird taking any money for doing it. So, and no, I don't think I want to do that. He goes, well, we got to sign something with you granting the rights to do it. And I go, well, is there some, like, is there an automatic amount of money or something? Why don't we donate it to a charity? And he liked that and said, really? And I go, yeah. So we did. And I signed over the rights and off it went. And next thing you know.
No, wait. Which charity? Yeah. No, Les Garland, which charity?
My recollection is we made it to T.J. Martell Foundation, which was the biggest charity in the music industry and very likely is to this day for children's cancer research. T.J. Martell Foundation is my recollection where I asked him to steer that money. And that was all the money that would be coming out of the U.S. He was calling for U.S. rights. And as I recall, because that only surfaced a year or so ago, that there's some crazy things in the legalization of
we don't want to know.
Voices being used.
You'll never get out of that swamp if you start to explain
it.
Les Garland, thank you very, very much for sharing with us exactly how you got to be this voice. I don't know why it doesn't start when I push the button. Wonder why that is. Oh, I know, because it's a PC. How annoying. Les Garland is the disc jockey voice, and we built this city on Rock and Roll by the Jefferson Starship. And thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the plane doctor.
You're not supposed to be on your phone. It's bad for the plane.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you a plane doctor? No? So shut the hell up.
Don't we love this show? Have you ever heard another show this compelling and exciting? What do you usually hear? You hear old men and old women screaming at the Democrats. How is that entertaining? Please explain to me. Now, you don't know me. I know you, but you don't know me. You don't know that there are people in the radio industry, in the television industry, in the magazine industry that think that I actually do know what many, many people, especially misfits, like to hear. We don't like to hear people screaming at the Democrats. There has to be something more entertaining. I know what there is. There's Keith Fonz, a DoorDash driver in North Pole, Alaska. Keith Fonz, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Happy birthday, Walter.
Thank you, Keith. Everybody who calls in tonight should say happy birthday to me. It's just common sense. And coming up at 15 minutes past the next hour, you and I will hear from an astrologer who will share their birthday predictions for me. Now, that will be very exciting. But, Keith, I need the Keith is in Alaska. That's no joke. I'm in my laundry room, and Keith really is in Alaska. Keith, on September 11th, apparently, the President of the United States, President Biden, is going to be in Alaska. And this has annoyed former Governor of New York, George Pataki. George Pataki is quite annoyed about this. Are you aware that the President is going to be in Alaska?
He is. He's making an appearance on September 11th in Anchorage with military families. And I'm okay with that, but on September 11th, that isn't okay. For over 20 years, every president, whether you like them or not, has shown respect at Ground Zero and gone to New York and remembered the victims and remembered what happened to our country on 9/11, something that a lot of the youth nowadays don't really understand the impact of what that day caused. And to have the president basically go halfway around the world on that day to celebrate it with military, that I'm okay with, like I said. But he should be in New York like every other president in the last 20 years has gone to show remembrance.
Where were you on September 11th, Keith Fonz?
I was actually on vacation on the beach in Newport, Oregon, when I found out about it. And still to this day, I remember what I was doing. I woke up to the news on the radio, got to a TV just in time for the second plane to go into the second tower. And like many Americans, I remember to this day how I felt and how the world, you know, our country united that day. And if we can get back to that nowadays, I think we would be better off in the world.
I lived within walking distance of that event. I lived within walking distance of the World Trade Center. And thank you for being on Sterling on Sunday, Keith Fonz, in North Pole, Alaska. And therefore, I am beyond appalled that the President of the United States is not at one of the three sites that saw the horror show up close of September 11th. You want to go to Pennsylvania? Go to the site in Pennsylvania. You want to go to the Pentagon? No problem. You want to come to the World Trade Center? Great. Those are your three choices as President of the United States. Those are the three places you get to go from now and the next 300 years to commemorate the deaths, the murders on September 11th. When Pataki announced that Biden was going to Alaska and that he was annoyed, you bet he was annoyed. We hadn't heard from Pataki in 400 years. No need to. But boy, did he pick the right moment to be heard from. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Liza Schlesinger.
Gentlemen, let's say you get a girl to go home with you, all right? Let's say you get a girl to go back to your apartment by the grace of God.
Did you ever start to have sex with somebody, a woman? Did you ever start to have sex with a woman and then discover that she didn't shave her legs? How did that go? Coming up in just seconds, Dr. Dave, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. You know, we have 8 kids, and for years, people have joked that I keep my wife locked in the bedroom.
This week, that was not a joke, and I really was locked in the bedroom.
Details coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. Krakow, Poland, strip club. Ooh, arrest. Details later, strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Coming up on today's Florida stories, we have an airboat crash, we have a black market for horse meat, we have a stolen Porsche, and we have a theft ring led by a pastor. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I discuss the terms commonly used in the auto theft industry. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Vacation. Frequently, people go to exotic locations and to enjoy, different scenery, architecture, the food, and the strip clubs. Yep, officers from the Police Central Investigation Bureau have arrested 20 people, including waitresses and dancers, as part of an investigation into extortion at Polish strip clubs. This happens a lot in strip clubs all over the world. Happens in the United States all the time. They got the Johns or the customers or the fellows liquored up. And a lot of times they spike their drinks with a roofie. And then they go out and they grab their American Express, their credit cards, or if they have a Guido roll in their pocket, they go ahead and take the money all out. It was organized. It was all set up. The name of the strip club in question is called Wild Nightclub. So there you go. Oh, a British citizen, 36 years old, went to the strip club, died. He was poisoned. They still have not pinned that on anyone. Yeah, you go to a strip club internationally, it's never a safe bet. If they provide you a bottle of beer where you get to open up the beer, it's good. Realize this. You could be robbed, killed, or perhaps entertained. Apparently the one strip club that's really, really dangerous in Poland is in Gdansk. Warsaw has it going on as well. Krakow, yeah. Be careful. Jiggle joints internationally, they're dangerous. Consumer tip this Labor Day weekend. From the Champagne Room, this is Velo Hool. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. Yes, thank you. For our first Florida Story, we're going to Kinnonsville, Florida. It's never been on Florida Stories before, but it is absolutely middle of nowhere, Florida. It's in the center, in the swamps, and so it kind of makes sense when you learn that it's about, I don't know, an hour south of Orlando, 2 hours north of Trump's house. But so it kind of makes sense when you see the excellent headline here that 13 people hospitalized after 2 airboats have crashed. That's right, the old airboat crash. There's a place called Wild Florida, and you can go on airboat tours, and I guess someone zigged when they should have zagged. 28 people were on these 2 airboats that crashed. We have a report here from Channel 2.
The county says that the call came in about those 2 airboats colliding around 12:10 this afternoon. Florida Fish and Wildlife says 2 charter airboats at Wild Florida collided with 28 people on board. 13 were ultimately taken to the hospital, and 17 people refused medical attention.
Yeah, and the news don't really add a whole lot to the story. I just feel the need to play it so you don't think I'm making this stuff up. Like, oh, the guy's running out of stories and he's just pulling stuff out of it. No, I'm not. This is 2 airboats colliding, 13 to the hospital, Florida.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Part two of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
It turns out that it's a thing, that it's becoming a very big deal in parts of the world for women to not shave their legs. And on one of those really good talk shows in England, not the kind that we have, one of those really good talk shows in England, there was this heated conversation.
Do you know what? Why don't you shave? It takes you 2 minutes. I kind of sometimes feel...
You see, I you suspect go for an interview. You're making a connection, Lizzie, as well, with hygiene.
With hygiene, yes, because...
Don't do it. I mean, you don't think it's unhygienic. Presumably, you don't shave yours, Eamon. You don't think, oh, my goodness, this is wholly unhygienic. So if it's not unhygienic on you, and let's be honest, men in general sweat more than women do, so it cannot possibly be unhygienic on me if it's not.
We have the deodorant advantage on men, because putting a deodorant on it, we get closer to the skin. And also, you get those horrible gloopy, gluey things.
Yeah, men sweat more than women because we have to sit around with women, talk to women, and watch our words very carefully. That makes us sweat. Excuse me. However, the phenomena of women not shaving their legs is something that I have had to deal with, and I will share it with you coming up in just seconds. Good evening. I'm live on a Sunday night. My name is Walter M. Sterling. You're in the 18-wheeler. I'm in the cab with you. I am 14 inches away from this microphone in my laundry room, and you're 14 inches away from the speaker in your cab. This is the most intimate medium ever created. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of George Santos.
No, I don't consider the things I've said to be lies. They're what my great-grandfather, Winston Churchill.
Yours, Eamon. Don't think, oh my goodness, this is wholly unhygienic. So if it's not unhygienic on you, and let's be honest, men in general sweat more than women do, so it cannot possibly be unhygienic on me if it's not.
We have the deodorant advantage on men, because putting a deodorant on it, we get closer to the skin. And also you get those horrible gloopy, gluey things.
It seems to be a trend that women are not shaving their legs or their underarms with the dependability that they used to. Many years ago, there was a woman I liked a lot. And she liked me a lot, which is really the shocking news. And we decided to get to know each other better. She comes to my apartment. We go to the bed. We're getting busy. Now, we had gotten busy before, but not all the way. But we had gotten busy before. We knew each other intimately, but we hadn't gone all the way. We get into bed, and then I realized that she didn't shave her legs. And then I had a problem, because it wasn't like she was blonde. She wasn't Norwegian. She was New Jersey. And because she was New Jersey, I'd say she probably had denser leg hair than I do. And I also am from New Jersey. But then I had a problem. And the problem was there was no way in hell that I could have sex with this woman because she did not shave her legs. There was no way in hell. But the problem was that we were friendly. I liked her. She liked me. We were like buddies and with benefits. It was like that. It was ideal in many ways. And it was never going to lead to anything more, therefore even more ideal for me, a man. Well, I didn't know what to do. I had to fake illness or headache. I had to fake something to get out of this dilemma. But I find that a woman who doesn't shave her legs, I find those legs to be completely unattractive. And then I'm like, well, what else didn't you shave? Did you not shave under your arms too? And then it turns out there are many women who are not shaving under their legs and under their arms, and somehow this is okay. It's not okay for me. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it, but there are a number of things that are not okay for me. And the problem with the not shaving the legs is that usually, in fact, always, these women wear slacks. And therefore, you can be jackpotted into having a sexual relationship, into about being intimate with a woman. And then when it's way too late, when you're in bed and the pants have come down, that you realize she doesn't shave her legs. I don't know what to say. What would you say? How would you deal with this? Because I did not know how to deal with it. I did not have the instruction book for dealing with she doesn't shave her legs. I believe that much like a venereal disease, much like herpes, that a person is obligated to tell their partner before it goes too far that this is an issue. That this herpes, this cosmetic herpes exists, that a woman should be obligated to say to the partner, by the way, when I take off my slacks, I don't shave my legs. Give the guy the opportunity to react to that before it's gone beyond dinner. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. I think it should be required socially and maybe by federal law that if a woman doesn't shave her legs, she is obligated to tell her potential partner that fact before the slacks have come off, before they've hopped into bed, that they have this conversation much as they would have the conversation about, gee, I have herpes.
Do you know what? Why don't you shave? It takes you 2 minutes. I kind of sometimes feel...
See, I
you go
suspect
for an interview.
You're making a connection, Lizzie, as well, with hygiene.
With hygiene, yes, because...
But if men don't do it, I mean, you don't think it's unhygienic. Presumably, you don't shave yours, Eamon. You don't think, oh, my goodness, this is wholly unhygienic. So if it's not unhygienic on you, and let's be honest, men in general sweat more than women do, so it cannot possibly be unhygienic on me if it's not.
We have the deodorant advantage on men, because putting a deodorant on it would get closer to the skin. And also, you get those horrible gloopy-gluey things.
888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. It should be a law. It should be required. Just as it is, in fact, required that you tell a potential partner that you have a venereal disease or that you have AIDS, you're required to tell the partner ahead of time that this is the minefield you're walking into or rolling around on. That if you, a young lady, an older woman, a mature woman, whatever kind of woman you are, that you, if you don't shave your legs, you should be required to reveal this before they are revealed. There should not be a reveal party after the pants have come off. Because I have been in that incredibly difficult, awkward situation where a woman who I certainly liked took off her slacks. And there were unshaved legs. And I didn't have any idea what to do. But I had a visceral repulsion against proceeding with an intimate act. I don't know. Maybe if she was a real blonde, it would have worked out. I might not have noticed. But this was not a real blonde. This was a Jersey girl. And therefore, it was very noticeable and very difficult and very embarrassing. I didn't know what to do. I do know that it ended the friendship. That was the sad part. Like, after that, after I made some lame excuse as to why we weren't going to have sex, I didn't want to be in the situation again. So I just avoided seeing her at all costs. I just avoided being with her at all because I didn't want it to lead to the next thing. How would you deal with that? My number is 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. The beauty of this radio show is everything you say is anonymous. Nobody knows anything. We're all very ignorant. And then, much like a good drunk, the next day, no one remembers anything. Nobody reveals anything. It's the best thing about it. It's the great season of ending. The best thing about this weekend is it's done. The pressure, to go to barbecues, outdoor events, golfing, tennis. That pressure is going to be gone. The difficulty of summer events is that I have to be invited in. I have to be invited to play golf with you, go to your pool, go to the beach. There's nothing creepier than a guy going to the beach alone. It's a by invitation only series of holidays. Now we're coming up on Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's, which are great. All I have to do to enjoy those holidays is to go outside. It's the best thing. But I believe this very strongly. Now that it's a trend that many women are not shaving their legs, they should be required to reveal this to their potential partner, be they lesbian or straight, that they don't shave their legs. They should reveal this before there is a slacks removal party, before the celebration has gotten to the point where you're both in bed, you're both prone, you're both in the back seat. And then all of a sudden you find out that there's this forest that you had no knowledge of. That as a guy, this is very difficult. I have no idea and did not know at the time what the script was for dealing with a woman who didn't shave her legs. I am sure there are men and women who celebrate any contact with another woman, celebrate any contact with a woman, could care less if they shave their legs. But I'll bet you a majority, vast majority, 98.3% of guys do not want to be with a woman who doesn't shave her legs. 98.3% of men do not want to be with a woman who does not shave her legs. And therefore, she should reveal this. A woman, yeah, you don't want to shave your leg, that's your business. But a woman should be obligated by federal law to tell their potential partner that they don't shave their legs. It's only a courtesy. Now, if you have herpes, if you have a venereal disease, if you have AIDS, you do tell your potential partner that you have this condition, unless you're just scum. But I believe you should do it if you don't shave your legs. My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258, Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Good evening, Walter M. Sterling, Georgianne Brown, Sarah Abraham Dunford, Jim Carducci, Frankie Red, Charlie Green. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to talk about women who do not shave their legs should be required by law to reveal that to potential lovers before they go to bed. Dr. Dave with your weather.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. You know, we have 8 kids, and for years, people have joked that I keep my wife locked in the bedroom.
This week, that was not a joke, and I really was locked in the bedroom.
Details coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I discuss the terms commonly used in the auto theft industry. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. I had a traumatic experience. ADHD, I had a traumatic experience. Years ago, I persuaded somehow or another through hours of begging a lovely, smart, bright young woman to join me in the boudoir. And everything was going fine until she took off her slacks, and there she hadn't shaved her legs. She hadn't shaved her legs, and my visceral response was to be repulsed. Nothing to do with her. It had to do with the visceral response of seeing hairy legs on a young woman. And I think now by federal law, it should be required that a woman tell a potential partner that she doesn't shave her legs. Helen in Pittsburgh, Welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
I love your show. I listen to it every Sunday. Okay, now this lady that you're talking about, she probably didn't have a boyfriend, and she probably wasn't romantically involved with anyone. And I'm thinking, when this episode happened between the two of you, it caught her off guard. But she definitely should have told you that she didn't shave her legs.
What should I have said when I saw this?
Well, if I was you, I probably would have been repulsed. And I would have said, oh, I got this pain in my back. It comes up every once in a while. I would have faked something to get out of it.
And that's what I had to do. Now, the next question, I didn't know what to do, and I felt so bad because I had known this woman for a long time, and I liked her, and we were friendly, and we had intimate relationships in automobiles in obscure places in New Jersey, and so I was taking it to the next level of my bedroom, and then this. Now, the next important question for you is, have you gone to the MyPillow.com website and entered the name Walter and gotten your free gift yet? Have you done that yet, Helen?
No, I haven't.
You will get a $20 free gift. No obligation. You don't have to buy anything. You don't pay for shipping or handling or none of one of those sleazy scams. You just go to the website and they'll send you a free gift. How does it get better than that, Helen?
Well, here's the thing. I don't have a computer.
Understood.
So what am I going to do about that?
You should call. You can call them. And this was, I was warned about this possibility. I will give you a number in a few seconds. All right, listen, I'll give you a phone number in a few. And you can talk to a live person at MyPillow.com, a live person at 11 minutes past the hour at this hour. Thank you very much for listening to Sterling on Sunday, and thank you for liking my show. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. Yes, I was warned by the agency. They said, well, a lot of your listeners might not actually have computer access to the MyPillow.com website. We'll give you a special phone number for them to call. And usually I have it right here. Why? Because I'm a professional broadcaster, and I would love for you to go to the MyPillow.com website and order stuff you didn't even know they had, like coffee. I am drinking right now the MyPillow coffee. It's really good. The other dilemma is this.
Do you know what? Why don't you shave? It takes you 2 minutes. I kind of sometimes feel...
See, I
you
suspect
go for an interview.
You're making a connection, Lizzie, as well, with hygiene.
With hygiene, yes, because...
If you don't do it, I mean, you don't think it's unhygienic. Presumably you don't shave yours, Eamon. You don't think, oh my goodness, this is wholly unhygienic. So if it's not unhygienic on you, and let's be honest, men in general sweat more than women do, so it cannot possibly be unhygienic on me if it's not.
We have the deodorant advantage on men, because putting a deodorant on it, we get close to the skin. And also you get those horrible gloopy-gluey things.
I think by federal law, a woman should be obligated, at least by Emily Post's law, should be obligated before she takes off her slacks to tell the potential partner, if she doesn't shave her legs, that she doesn't shave her legs. This gives the potential partner the opportunity to be gracious rather than to be in a state of shock about, oh my gosh, now I'm all aroused, I'm ready to party, and then the reveal. Here is the phone number. Sorry. Helen, here's the phone number for MyPillow. You want to call them and claim your free gift. This is all you have to do. They will send you a free gift worth $20. 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. Make that call. Promo code Walter. When you use the promo code Walter, the odds of me being able to pay for my kids' college increases dramatically. And I'm not one of these clowns who has 400 million listeners for screaming at the Democrats. What skill is that? There's no skill in you screaming at the Democrats. To come up with a topic that gets you emotionally involved, like you must by law have to tell a potential partner that you don't shave your legs. Now, that's a level of thinking you just don't usually hear on the radio. Do you? You don't normally hear that sort of excitement, that sort of arousal. Did I say arousal? Yes. I have to so carefully review every word I say before I'm about to say it, because, you see, I was trained differently. I was the first person to put Dr. Ruth Westheimer on the air. And she was on Sunday nights. And every Monday morning, most Monday mornings, the NBC Standards and Practices Department, a real Standards and Practices, oh, wait, the first Standards and Practices Department, would descend and darken my door, my office door at 30 Rockefeller Plaza. Yeah, I worked at 30 Rockefeller Plaza, which we never called 30 Rock. Never did I hear anybody call it 30 Rock. I work at 30, no, 30 Rockefeller Plaza is what we called it. And then Standards and Practices people would show up on my door, my doorstep on Monday mornings, and to review things that Dr. Ruth said. And when they said, that's fine, okay, we understand, it burrowed in my brain forever that if Dr. Ruth could say it, I could say it. That it was all right by NBC standards. It was fine. It turns out that other standards people, other lawyers, far less competent lawyers, let me repeat, far less competent lawyers did not quite have the sense of humor as the NBC experienced, seasoned, skilled lawyers had. Whole different world, because there are no standards about what we can and can't say on the radio. I can't commit slander. I can't say something about you that isn't true. That's slander. You knew that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to mansplain things to you. For years, I was a consultant. I gave people advice. All consulting is mansplaining all day. It's exhausting. That's why I had to stop doing it. And then, even at NBC, even though a standards lawyer might say it, they could be overruled by a corporate executive. They could be overruled. They weren't priests. Today, I want to get your feedback. I want your reaction to, I was in a situation with a young woman who I liked. And she was attractive and appealing, and we were going to have sex. We get to the boudoir. She takes off her slacks, and oh my God, she hadn't shaved her legs. She had not shaved her legs. And I was visually repulsed. Now, I work with some people who say, well, that would have been fine. I would have mind going to bed with her. I would have, you know, felt her legs. It would have been, no, if I had just felt her legs, that would have been fine. Seeing them first was terrifying. Unexpected and terrifying. And I didn't know what to do, and I didn't know what to say. Therefore, just like a venereal disease, where you're morally and legally obligated to reveal that to a potential partner, I say that if a woman hasn't shaved her legs, she should be responsible for revealing that to the potential partner. I think it should be a law. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. It turns out that there are a lot of women online who are showing that they don't shave their legs, that this is now a thing, and that people troll them, mock them, belittle them for not shaving their legs, and they're standing firm. Gosh darn it, they're standing firm. Let me help you. You're standing firm alone, completely alone. No one could cares about you if you don't shave your legs. Not attractive, not going to work out for you. 98.3% of men in America have no interest in having sex with a woman who doesn't shave her legs. 888-688-9258. I am Walter M. Sterling. This is a live radio show. And details, this is a live 3-hour radio show. It starts at 10 p.m. East Coast, 7 p.m. West Coast, and I look forward to talking with you. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Cara Delevingne.
Because it comes from a place of deep insecurity. Like, ever since I was a kid, I was like, I want to have a boob job. My boobs are uneven. You know, I don't like my nose. Or, like, different things.
Ray You're on the air with Sterling on Sunday. Hello, Ray.
Yeah, you're a Democrat, right?
What are we talking about, Ray? Are we talking about women who don't shave their legs?
No, that don't bother me.
Well,
like
thank you for
narrow.
The call, Ray. Thank you very much, and I hope you get that fixed soon. Michelle, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Michelle Welsh is one of the greatest astrologers of our time. Today is my birthday, September 3rd. I was born at 3:20 in the morning. What's my horoscope?
Hi, Walter. How are you doing? And no disclaimer here. I do shave my legs, just so you know. I've been listening. So happy birthday. And here's what I get for you. Obviously, communication has been important in your life throughout your life. And we all, from listening to you, know how much you are so good at putting linear thinking together. A, B, C, you're a perfectionist in the way you think. But you also think very outside the box. And what I see coming for you in this year and going forward a couple more years too is more outside of the box thinking. Now you're probably going, yeah, Michelle, I already do that, I get that, but you're a very detail oriented person in the sign that you're in. But your surrounding signs that you're going into and they're going to influence you now are going to help you even more get out of the box. And where I see this coming is, Darius, I'm going to call it lobbying, but you can call it whatever you want, where you're influencing people in your field, which you already are a huge influencer in your field, for AM radio and where the future of AM radio is going. I see you being a mentor to many, which again, you already have been, but I see a shift. You've had a new love come into your life, something new, and that is just really rejuvenated you in the way you think of things. And some of that perfectionism feels like it's kind of going to the side a little bit. You're still going to appear to everyone else that you have everything perfectly in order, and you will, but it's just that you're allowing for a little bit of expansion. One of the things that I really see you doing that comes from the Aquarius in your chart is that you are really able to listen to the younger generations and what they can contribute and how that can push forward the medium of radio. And I'm talking about that because some of the things that I got for you for your birthday are the influence that you have had on your listeners. Now, these are going to be very specific, and you can cut me off if you want to, but I get very specific things. At some point, and I don't know if you can check this or not, and I'd love it if you could, and I'd love it if there's somebody that this comes right to mind, but there was someone that listened to you for a long time, and I feel like this was probably about 5-10 years ago, and their name was Sam, and they called in a lot, and they did have cancer. And you very much affected this person. And the way that you look at radio as being just right in someone's heart and in their home, and that you have a direct connection and communication with them, is the reason why radio is so important. And there were other listeners like that, and they're listeners now, that they really feel they're part of your family and part of your home. And speaking of family, that's where your love's going, and a lot of your attention is focused right now. And that doesn't have to be in any way separate, obviously, from your job. But I do feel you're going to feel pulled in the next couple of years because you're going to be called more to go into that, what I call lobbyist, for lack of a better word. You may have a more correct term for that. But as a spokesman for your industry or for the medium of radio. And I also see that when I talked about that out of the box again, what came to me were these words like data, like A, B, C, and putting together data. But now it's putting together those emotions, those stories, and that's how you tap into the youth and knowing that they want that very quickly. And you know how to put that together very quickly, but to also to bring out the emotions in that. And I feel like that new love, the new spark in your life, this new injection of just pure unconditional love is what's really going to drive that even more for you. And I wanted to say one other really specific thing for you. There is a book that someone signed for you, and I thought that I was supposed to ask you what's your favorite book, and I thought, I don't know, it might be hard, but I believe someone signed one of your favorite books. And if you know what that is, or if you think about it later, if you will go to page 33 and it goes on, that what I want you to read goes on to page 34. There's a message for you there. And I'd love it if we could get a follow-up on that, or if I could, because I feel very strongly, it's a very specific message, but it came through so loud and clear to me. The book feels like it's prominently displayed, but then again, in another way, I felt like at one point you had it like stuck in a box somewhere away, but at some point it's been prominently displayed. So I kind of got not exact where that book is. It's been in both places. It's been very prominent, and at times it's just been stuck away where you'd have to bug it, you know, get the dust off of it. But it was very special to you at the time. And I also see that I would just want to emphasize the love that you have for not only your family and those around you that you put so much care and perfection into, but it is so apparent when I began reading for you just now and earlier today that, and I was looking at your horoscope and looking and doing some cards, and I also just get intuitive hits from nowhere, from maybe the collective, that how much you care about your listeners and how much you
care. I do, yeah. Michelle Welch, I do. Now, coming up in just seconds, I want to hear the rest of this report for obvious reasons. And I love talking to you. I love hearing what you have to say. And I'm going to tell you what that book is. I will reveal to you what that book is. Coming up in just seconds, it's my birthday. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. You know, we have 8 kids, and for years, people have joked that I keep my wife locked in the bedroom.
This week, that was not a joke, and I really was locked in the bedroom.
Details coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I discuss the terms commonly used in the auto theft industry. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Good evening, I'm Walter M. Sterling with Michelle Welch. The fact is that today is my birthday, and therefore I'm self-indulgent. You can find out what I would like to have for my birthday at Walter Sterling on Facebook, S-T-E-R-L-I-N-G. We should be friends on Facebook because I post wacky, brilliant stuff there. But you can find out what I'd really like for my birthday if you go there. Oh, gee, right now. Michelle Walsh, what's the rest of my horoscope?
Well, I was, I'm very excited to hear about that book, but I was also talking about the fact that how you train and how that will go along with your family life, but you're going to be called to do more, even more, in your public speaking and I don't know the right word, but lobbying, it keeps coming up, for radio. And I feel that there's a crisis, and I don't know as much about you're the expert here on radio, but what it feels like to me is like this kind of crisis of what's going on with AM radio, and that you really are training people and you're going to be speaking more and more on that, and that's not going to be letting up anytime soon. I'd say for the next 2-3 years, it seems like that's a big part of what's in your future. So I mean, it just kept coming up for me that you are training those under you, and that you're also having to train people that really you're very patient with them, but yeah. they think they know what they're talking about, but they don't.
Yeah, I'm not that patient. Michelle Welch, thank you very much. The name of the book is What I Learned Losing $1 Million, and was by James Paul. And James Paul died on September 11th. And he had given me this book he wrote called What I Learned Losing $1 Million. But I hadn't opened it. And then when he died, I opened it that night. I let it open to a page. I just let it open. And remember, it was called What I Learned Losing $1 Million. And it opened to the... what is it? 7 stages of grief that usually is applied to death. And there it was applying to losing $1 million. But what I needed it for that day was the 7 stages of grief for my friend James Paul. Thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Kate Littlejohn.
I told you we should have done a sting. It would have taken an hour. We'd control all the variables, get Shales negotiating on the wire.
Sterling on Sunday. Now, 7 good minutes.
All right, Sterling on Sunday with Noah Sykin. Noah Sykin is a grown-up. He is a vice president of global sponsorships and client executive programs at IBM, which means that when a high-level CEO at some company has trouble, they call Noah. They have his cell phone number. He's responsible for leading the strategy and partnerships related to IBM's global sponsorship portfolio, which oddly includes the U.S. Open coming up, the Masters, but then the Grammys. How'd you weasel in the Grammys? How did you, Noah, how did you weasel into this list, tickets to the Grammys?
Well, we really think about what people love. You know, people love sports and people love music. And so when we think about where we might want to do some work, we think about people's passion points. And so music and sports typically are a pretty good starting point.
You are an expert in artificial intelligence. And there's about to be new applications of artificial intelligence at the U.S. Open coming up. I understand that as an idea, as a viewer or a listener to the U.S. Open. Where do I see that? How are cutting-edge technologies impacting sports? IBM is introducing AI-powered fan experiences for tennis fans for the U.S. Open. How do I experience that?
Yeah, so IBM partners with the U.S. Open, and the USTA puts on the U.S. Open. We partner with them for 30 years, and foundational to what we do is we help build their websites, their mobile applications. We create video experiences, integrate scoring experiences, social experiences. People, you know, normally may turn on a television to watch a tennis match, but increasingly we see people turning to digital platforms like websites, mobile applications. And so we work with the USTA to create new experiences. And this year we have new experiences powered by generative AI, our Watson X platform.
Stop.
AI commentary.
Stop. Go to the beginning of that sentence and explain every word.
If you're a tennis fan and you want to experience the US Open, you have a lot of options. One of them is to go to the website. And when you go to the website, one of the things that most people tend to do, the number one thing people are interested in is video content, right? And so we thought about how to make a video highlight package a little bit better than they've been in the past, and actually do it with cutting edge technology. And so if you've been to a professional tennis event, you'll know that there could be 15 or 17 matches going on around the ground simultaneously, all at the same time. But there aren't commentators calling those matches all at the same time on all 17 courts. Well, the USTA asked us to use artificial intelligence to power commentary, just like traditional commentary, on top of all of those matches, all of those 17 courts. And so when fans go to the website and they want to see that highlight package of Carlos Alcaraz, as an example, after the match ends, they'll click on that little highlight package, and the commentary, the voice they hear on top of that, is actually going to be generated by generative artificial intelligence powered by Watson X, our development platform.
Why is that better than old Charlie doing a narration?
Well, I'm not going to say it's better. It's different because Charlie can't be on 17 courts at the same time. And the broadcasters and the video producers who stream this content, they're not in a position, for a variety of different reasons, to man all 17 courts with commentary. And so this is actually filling in the white space where commentary isn't happening already, but where it should be happening to enrich that fan experience. And so that's how we think about it. There's great, we're not going to replace Chris Evert or Chris Fowler or any great commentators. They bring a richness that is, you know, pretty hard to duplicate. But there's a lot of tennis that happens that has no commentary, and that's where artificial intelligence can play a really important role.
Now, you're going to apply this new technology, this new artificial intelligence technology, to the Grammys. How are you going to use this to enhance the experience of seeing the Grammys?
Yeah, well, I'll actually take a step back on that one because, you know, this whole notion of generative AI Some are more or less familiar with it. It's really kind of caught fire here in 2023 for a variety of reasons. But, you know, 3 years ago in the, you know, in the dark days of COVID, the Grammys actually asked us how to create some interest around the Grammy Awards with artificial intelligence. And at that time, we actually used generative AI around debates. And so we actually asked fans a series of questions. Who's your favorite, you know, rock artist or, you know, different music related questions. And they all gave us their input on those questions. And we took all that input, used artificial intelligence and generated a hypothesis for the answer to those questions based on all of that input. And so we've used generative AI at the Grammys to engage fans around our Grammy debate program. And then we deliver insights. And so we read millions of articles about all of the using, again, artificial intelligence, about all of the nominated artists at the Grammy Awards. If you watch the broadcast on the red carpet or if you go to the website for the Grammys, you'll see Grammy Insights, AI-generated insights around each of those artists or some of those bigger-named artists. Again, just to give the fans a little bit more texture and context about what to look for, what's exciting about those artists or some unknown facts. You know, it's all in service of growing the fan base of our great partners at the Grammys or US Open or anywhere else.
How do I get in touch with you, Noah? How does a business get in touch with you, engage you, and take advantage of this incredible expertise that only IBM has?
Yeah, so if people want to learn more, they can go to ibm.com/sports and learn more about how we bring these capabilities to great sporting events around the world. And if you explore a little bit more, you'll see how we bring it to business around the world. And people want to get in touch with me, just go to LinkedIn and reach out, and I'll be happy to connect.
Noah, I need you to say everything you just said three times. And by the third time, I'll remember what you said. So would you please do that? Say everything you just said three times.
If people want to learn more about these great capabilities, go to ibm.com/sports, and you'll learn about how generative AI is playing a role in sports around the world. And if you want to connect with me, hit me up on LinkedIn. If you want to learn more about these capabilities, go to ibm.com/sports to learn more about how we bring generative AI to sports and business around the world. If you want to connect with me, go to LinkedIn. And finally, if you want to learn more about how we bring generative AI to sports, visit ibm.com/sports to learn more about AI and business. And if you want to connect with me, hit me up on LinkedIn.
888-688-WALT, Beryl Kravitz, D. Wells, John Kelly, Charlie Green, Eric Ferguson, Bill White, Irene Robertson, Paul Vandenberg, at Talk 1300 in Albany. The best talk station in Albany is Talk 1300. Why? Because Paul Vandenberg has been doing morning drive hosting there for 412 years. That's what Paul Vandenberg's been doing. A great man, one of the few people who actually understands this show, appreciates this show. He would never do anything clownish like air 22-year-old reruns of Art Bell. I told somebody in radio the other day, I said, do you understand that there are actually stations that do reruns of Art Bell? And they're like, they were basically like, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? I said, what's wrong with it is that Art will say, gee, this morning on CNN, I saw dot, dot, dot. And no one has scrubbed the reruns. No one has cleaned up the dated references. No one's done their job. Well, you know, and I'm in an industry where they don't really see that that's a big problem. Excuse me. It's upsetting me so much. Rosemary Furlong, Michael Garay, Mark Cavullo, Neil Paul, Judy Paul, Nate Tester, Ann Nupp, Annie Nupp. I haven't seen pictures of your food in a long time. Beryl Kravitz, Rebecca Canner, Billy Datz and his beautiful family. Welcome. These are the Midnight Misfits. And Frankie Red. Yes, I haven't forgotten you, Frankie Red. Welcome. KXNT. KXNT in Las Vegas. One of my very favorite affiliates. In the 24-hour city, it's a three-hour solid affiliate, and I am grateful. KXNT has been with us since day one, and I thank you, thank you, thank you. The big trouble right now in America is at Burning Man. Burning Man is this insane festival that you may or may not know about. It's allegedly a music festival, but it just strikes me as some sort of big drug festival. Right now, tens of thousands of people are stranded in survival mode, drenched at the Burning Man site, as authorities are telling them, don't go anywhere. Stay where you are. It's just a big mess. It turns out some of these people have been told just to stay where they are, said, well, I'll just leave. And they get up and walk away. Others who are stuck in cars, they're not going anywhere. But the thing about Burning Man is right there, there's stratification. Most people are stuck in the mud. But if you're the CEO of a company and you say, well, I'm going to go to Burning Man, well, they set up platform tents for you and air conditioning in the tents. And you have a whole world inside your plastic tent where you're perfectly safe and properly air conditioned. It's not exactly the same experience. Well, what do they do there? Well, they play music in the desert, and then they light a effigy of a man on fire, and they light it up. I never did drugs. I think in order to enjoy Burning Man, you have to do drugs like right now. I've never done them. I can't imagine the appeal of this. But what shocks me most about the Burning Man Music Festival is that tens of thousands of grown-ups go to this. This is not a wacky teenage thing. This is 30, 40-year-old executives I know have gone to this. Tens of thousands of people remain stranded Sunday at Burning Man Music Festival. Authorities are investigating reports of a death following torrential rains that turned the site of the annual counterculture bash into the Nevada desert treacherous mud pit. 73,000 attendees were ordered to shelter in place, with the festival closed to vehicles on Saturday due to the inclement weather. This was an inclement weather. This is a flood. Honestly, we're having a great time, said one festival goer. Yeah, that would be the person who would be doing drugs. Some people were supposed to leave a few days ago, so they're out of water and they're out of food, but I'm an organizer, so I went around and found more water and food. There is more than enough here for people. We just have to get it to everyone. Oh, there are people who came there without enough water and food. And this person views themselves as sort of an organizational person, and they're going person to person like a communist or a socialist to get food and redistribute it. Oh, my gosh, I can't imagine a worse event. I have an email address. It's Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. I answer every email. I have a spectacular website.